We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Folks, it's a Friday edition of College Sports Now. You know the drill. He's Michael Felder from Stadium TV, at In the Bleachers on Twitter. I'm Stephen Hartzell. John Morris, he's the radio voice of the Baylor Bears. The kids call him J-Mo. He's joining the show in 20 minutes because Baylor is playing for a Big 12 football championship. Championship weekend is here. A lot of people are like, oh man, college football season's over. What a shame. No. It's been a grind to get here. We're going to celebrate the fact that we're handing out some championships, some belts, as you like to say, Felder,
yes, sir.
Weekend. And we got games, man. And guess what we're not going to talk about for the next hour and change?
Coaches.
Yeah, man. There's other places to go to get that. Like if you want to hear Stephen A. Smith talk about Lincoln Riley to Southern Cal, be my guest. If you want to talk about Brian Kelly wearing a purple sports jacket, be my guest. Guess what we're not doing on this program today? Talking about either one of those things, okay? We're here to talk ball. I'm fired up, man. I'm sorry. I'm fired up. I'm fired up, man.
Don't apologize. Don't apologize. Listen, I've had all week, I've been made to talk about stuff that I didn't want to talk about. This is my release. This is going to be cathartic. I am excited. I am pumped. All week, every show, everything that I've done has been... Well, I think the biggest news of the day is we have to talk about the biggest news of the day. The big news, because it's the biggest news, is the big news that we have to talk about the biggest news. And I was like, man, you know what? How screwed? Like, the only thing I'll say is, how messed up is it that two schools, three schools, throwing Florida in there too, that are not in playoff contention, that did not go to their conference championship game, that did not win a number of games that are even remotely respectable, one of which is playing an 11 o'clock game on FS1 that is completely meaningless to the point they scheduled it earlier in the season when they knew it would be meaningless, and somehow they grab all the headlines when we've got games, baby. So let's give the respect where respect is due, the credit where credit is due. These teams grinded their ass off. What do we got? We got 20 teams, right?
Yeah.
20 teams, 10 games that were excellent. Excellent teams. Let's get the job done.
That's well put. Yeah. Southern Cal and Cal. Don't care. It shouldn't be happening, but it is. So enjoy that battle of 2-4-7 teams hooking up in Berkeley in front of about 30 people. God almighty. All right. So here's the deal, Felder. I will be on the sidelines for the SEC championship game on Saturday afternoon. I'm stoked. It's like the coolest perk that I have here at Learfield is getting to be on the sidelines for that game. The atmosphere is going to be electric. You can listen if you're into that sort of thing. SEC Radio Network, by the way, we're on in Atlanta, Nashville, Birmingham, pretty much any city or state in the Southeastern Conference footprint that has a radio station will be on. So we'll talk a lot about that game. But before J-Mo comes on, J-Mo's going to do it. We'll do a deep dive on the Big 12, which is one of the early games on Saturday. That's a noon kick in Arlington. Yep. Should be a fascinating matchup. Baylor and Oklahoma State, a rematch of a game we saw back in October. early October. It was like week four, week five of the season, yeah. Long time ago. Oklahoma State won by 10 in Stillwater. I want to give you some time to flex, stretch your legs. Let's get into the Felder 5 Championship Week Edition, and you can start anywhere in the country, my man. The floor is yours.
Oh, we're starting with Houston. Come on. Let's go. I think this is honestly, and I put this in there because everyone's going to talk about Cincinnati with style points, right? But Houston is not, they're not a, the reason I said let's start with Houston because Houston is not, they don't play any games, man. This is going to be a very big Desmond Ridder football game. You know what I mean? Houston's a football team that they got 14 interceptions this year. And they're not by accident. 14 picks, not by accident. Desmond Ridder better show up.
I mean, because, this, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to step on your toes.
Because if you think that style points are going to be critical to Cincinnati getting into the college football playoff, he can't be out there looking phony baloney, throwing interceptions and not winning the game, you know, by a wide margin, right?
Listen, this isn't about style points, man. Cincinnati needs to survive. Like, this is not going to be – I know the Vegas line is like 10, 11 points, something like that. Man, buyer beware on Cincinnati. Don't screw this up.
Buyer beware on them?
I don't trust Cincinnati to win this game by double digits.
Okay.
Like, I hear you on the style points thing, but the argument for Cincinnati at this point is they only need one thing to happen. Other than them winning, they only need one other thing to happen.
What?
Georgia. If Georgia handles their business against Alabama, so long Crimson Tide, Bearcats handle their business, they're in.
Okay.
Do you disagree?
No, I don't disagree. So long Alabama, Bearcats stay in, and then Oklahoma State moves in.
Assuming Oklahoma State handles their business, yes. Because you know if Oklahoma...
Otherwise, it could be a Marcus Freeman-led Notre Dame team in there.
Dude, look, if Oklahoma State wins, they're going to jump Cincy. I don't even want to talk about the committee and like their whole like
we don't have to.
Process.
We don't have to.
But
let's focus in. You don't trust Cincinnati to win by double digits.
I think Houston is to your point. They're not a fluke, man. They've won 11 in a row. Dana Holgorsen, this is a physical football team, man. This is going to be a fun game. It's going to be a fun game.
I bet they are pulling their hair out that they lost to Texas Tech.
Well, considering Texas Tech turned out to be what, like a 4-8 team? I mean, they're not very good. That's not a very good Texas Tech squad.
Yeah.
Houston was in control of that game, too, early. Mm-hmm. And then things got out of hand. So, yeah, I'm with you. This is going to be a physical football game. Unfortunately, it's kicking off at 4 o'clock. It's got to go toe-to-toe with the big boy on CBS. And it's not going to get the eyeballs. But I mentioned this earlier.
Who are all these jabronis out here with only one television?
This could be a very weird scene. And I won't be watching it like you will, Felder, but there could be a real scenario.
They got scoreboards.
Yeah, yeah. But like if Cincinnati handles their business, right? Like if they win and they're on the field or they're on the sidelines celebrating the fact that they just went 13-0.
Yep.
Meanwhile, in Atlanta, Alabama's winning and going to upset Georgia.
Yeah.
Like if that's happening, Cincinnati's gonna know about that.
Yeah.
And they're gonna be real tight. They're going to be real. Like, they're going to be like, we just accomplished a 13-0 season. We are AAC champs. Holy shit, we may not be going to the playoff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be bizarre if that's happening because those games will be finishing, reaching their conclusion at the same time Saturday night. That could be weird. That's all I'm saying. That could be really weird.
Absolutely could. I think that's going to be interesting. And guess what? They'll get their team meal and they'll all sit together in the players in the meeting room or whatever. And then they'll see what Michigan and they'll see what Michigan does. That's all they can wait on.
Yeah. And I know we'll talk about Michigan a little bit later.
Sure, we will. Yeah, but yeah, I just think that it's going to be interesting. I think Desmond Ridder is on display here. He's got to play a good football game. He's got to play a clean football game if they want to win, if they want to win the way they want to win. It's especially because I do think that we'll talk about it later. But we don't need to play Dr. Scenario over here. Next up, number four. Can Oregon fix a mentality in a few weeks? Because they didn't just lose to Utah, right?
Yeah, they lost by 30.
And they got their heads kicked in.
Yeah, in every aspect, man. Offense, defense, special teams. You and I were both laughing about that video, the dude who posts the vids on social where he's the DB coach.
Yes.
And he's breaking down film and he's just calling it. And like, Like the clips that he pulled up of Oregon were guys on the defensive side of the football just hugging air. Yeah. Just like it was men against boys.
It was bad. It was really bad. Like it was really bad. So, I mean, it just, how do you fix that, right?
Well, it helps that you're not playing in Salt Lake City.
Okay. How much does it help? Does it help 31 points?
Well, see, that's my thing, man. Oregon's not 30 points worse than Utah. They were on that night. I mean, Utah's playing some of the best football in the country, man. They're not on the 11-game win streak that Houston is, or the 12-game win streak that Cincinnati is, or the, I think it's 16 for Georgia. Sure. But, I mean, nobody wants to play Utah. Nobody wants a piece of that right now.
Not at all. But, like, how many points does the neutral site change? 20?
No, not that much. No, neutral site literally, like realistically, changes it probably like 4 to 7 points, maybe.
So 4 to 7 points. So we go from 31 to 7. 31 to 7 is 24. So it's a 24-point win is what you're saying?
No, that ain't going to get it done either, man.
That's what I'm saying. How do they flip a 31-point? From 2 weeks ago, 31 points, how do they flip that?
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know if that's a thing you can change in a week.
I mean, do you have faith that they can? Like, which Oregon team shows up? I guess that's the thing.
It's less about which Oregon team shows. Like, listen, this is one of those things. You and I have talked about this on another show that we do, but you got to walk into a room and be sizing guys up, and you got to want all the smoke. You got to want it.
That's Utah right now.
Yeah. Utah walks into a room and they're like, I can beat him up. I can beat him up. I can beat him up. Might be a struggle, but I'll at least try. I can take him. I think I could take him. If I get him in the kneecaps, I can take him. So, and it almost was like Oregon thought, everyone's going to bow down. They want us to win. They want us to go to the playoff. And they were like, Utah was like, I don't care about the playoff, dog.
Right.
We're about to beat your brains in. And it's interesting. Because that is, and by the way, don't you think there's a little bit of the residual from what? From, was that 2 seasons ago? Yeah, that was 2 seasons ago, right? Where Oregon did the same thing to Utah?
Ended their playoff aspirations?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just beat them by 22 points. So this, I guess, should we call this what, the rubber match?
I mean, Utah effectively ended Oregon's playoff season. I know some people are talking about chaos scenarios where the Ducks might have a chance. No, I agree. It's throw that out the window. This is a pride game. I know both of these teams want to go to the Rose Bowl. Sure, like Pac-12 championship. That's great. But, yeah, to your point, Felder, I don't know what it's like in a locker room when you've got to take the field against a team that just owned you a couple weeks ago.
I mean, they got mollywopped. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. I just haven't heard Molly Whopped in many moons. Yeah. Many moons.
Well, I just think it's I want to see a good football game. This is what, Friday night?
This is Friday night in Las Vegas, my man. First year that we're doing the Vegas thing for the Pac-12.
That's another whole thing too.
That's a win.
For
that this game is not in Santa Clara anymore.
Oh, yeah. Utah also doesn't strike me as a team that's going to be out and about.
That's fair. Yeah. I mean, you're probably right. But the Santa Clara game, that having been to that stadium for the Clemson-Alabama Natty a couple years ago, that place is hard to get to, and it's just meh. It's just a meh. I mean, Vegas is where this game needs to be. Now, if I'm the Pac-12, I don't think Friday at 5 o'clock local time is the ideal place for this game. But it is what it is.
But that's a you know what that is though.
That's TV.
That's TV shuffling and bustling, right? Because they flip between Fox and ABC.
Yeah, every other year, correct.
Is it every other year? Or somebody gets the pick?
Somebody
gets first. I think doesn't someone get first pick every other year?
Well, Fox has the Big Ten this year.
Right.
And by the way, Big Ten championship. Don't be cheapskates like you were last year. Paint the end zones. You remember that?
No, I don't. What'd they do?
I texted you about this last year. The Big Ten championship game. Like, dude goes into the end zone and it just says, Indianapolis Colts. Like,
yes, hey, I do remember
that. Guys, do better, okay?
Yes.
Do better.
Oh, my goodness. No, I so last year the game was on. What is this? Oh, last year really screwed everything up, man.
No kidding.
Week 16. Last year, the Pac-12 game was on Friday, too.
It's always on Friday. I just, the TV stuff goes back and forth, Fox versus ABC.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, I was like, let me go to last year, week 14. And it was like, week 14, there was like 40 games. And I was like, what is happening? Oh, yeah, COVID. And we played until week 16. I want to see if they can make a mentality change. I want to see how tough they can play. I want to see if Utah can come out and do the same thing again. I mean, I think it's, what do you think would be more impressive? Oregon kind of bowing their neck and being strong in this game, or Utah coming out and do the same thing again?
I mean, for me, I think it'd be more impressive if Oregon could find a way to bounce back. I don't have faith that happens.
See, I think I'd be more impressed if Utah can do the same thing again.
They're not going to beat them by 30. That would impress me.
Oops.
Beat them by 30 twice within.
Not beat them by 30, but physically manhandle them.
Yeah.
I think that there's a point of pride, and I don't know that we're going to get. I don't know that we're. I think Oregon's not going to let that happen again. But if Utah can do that to them again, woo, buddy, that's super impressive. And get to, this would be their first Rose Bowl, wouldn't it?
I think you're right. Yeah, because when they went to the BCS, it was a fiesta, I believe.
Yeah, that was against. Was that against TCU? Oh man,
we're going in the Wayback Machine. Yeah, and they've also been to a Sugar, right? Didn't they under Urban? They went Sugar.
Yeah, they beat the hell out of Alabama.
Correct.
Well, that wasn't under Urban. No, that was under Kyle Whittingham. That was in 2008.
Yeah, I don't know why I thought. Yeah, sorry. Been a long day.
It has been a long day. List of Utah bowls. Control F, Rose. They've never been to the Rose Bowl. That was easy.
There you go.
Boom. There we go. Next up for me. I know we're going to talk about this one more after we wrap up with John Morris, but I want to get the prelim. What tricks does Nick Saban have up his sleeve? Because it's going to take a couple tricks to win. And the thing that I look at when I look what I look at with respect to Nick Saban and with respect to him knowing that his team is operating from a deficit. I look at Clemson 2014, I believe. I look at Clemson 2018. Those are the two games that I really look at, and they're completely opposite from this football game, but those are games where he realizes, oh, I can't win unless I do something remarkably drastic, right? And obviously, the drastic thing that he tried was horrible in the 2018, the national championship game after the 2018 season where he tried the fake field goal. Didn't go well, did it?
No.
That went very bad. And then I look at the game against Deshaun Watson, the first one. He dialed up a really, they got a successful kick return from Kenyon Drake. Points. And then what does he know? He knows I can't give Deshaun Watson the ball back. We'll lose. Onside kick. Where is he going to find those little elements in his football game?
Well, on top of that, I just saw an Iron Bowl, and I know you watched this too.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama got shoved around. That offensive line was a sieve.
The right side is not that great.
Okay. So clearly Auburn's game plan was, we're coming. We're blitzing.
Yes.
You guys just, you know.
How much of that does Georgia do?
Well, I mean, who's got a more talented front seven?
That's not the question that I'm asking, though. Because those are two completely different things. It's one thing to be able to control the offensive line with four. It's another thing to do what Auburn did, what Arkansas did for the first two drives, which is bring pressure from all over. Georgia doesn't strike me as a team that wants to bring pressure from all over. Do they strike you as that?
Not necessarily, no. I mean, the thing about Auburn is they have really good corners. They're very good. I mean,
yeah, that's the other part of it. Yes,
they were like, let's blitz because our corners can handle this. Georgia, the strength is on the front seven, not necessarily the back four. So, it is an interesting cat and mouse. I just, boy, a game removed from setting a program record, throwing for nearly 600 yards, Bryce Young looked. I mean, he was running for his life. The dude was just getting sacked every time he looked up.
Yeah.
And the guys on the Alabama broadcast were talking about it. He would be in like the third step of his drop, and he'd be getting knocked on his ass. I mean, it was coming that quick.
But that's because Alabama had to make a conscious decision, right? They made a decision in that football game that was, we're not going to max protect. We're not going to max protect. We're going to try to get the ball out hot so that we can make plays. We're not going to max protect. We're going to get the ball out hot. We are not going to max protect. We are not going to. We're not going to put 85 Kendall Randolph in the game, and eliminate one of our passing threats. Especially, and also, oh, by the way, remember Jameson Williams is going to be playing on Saturday.
Yep.
That's a big difference maker too. But Alabama made a conscious decision that they were not going to max protect. They are going to have one running back, four wide receivers in the game, and if the wide receivers or Billingsley, we need them to do a little bit of blocking, that's fine, but the reality of it is we're just going to try to get the ball off before that can happen. Now, Georgia, the positive for them is if they can get that pressure with four, great. And I know that Georgia has 41 sacks on the season, but they're not a high-pressure defense. They are a squeeze defense. They suffocate you. Whether it's Beal or it's Anderson, N'Kobe Dean is actually their sack leader, I think. But they squeeze. And they squeeze and then they flush, and we'll see what happens. I think you got to get those guys. You got to figure out what you're going to do. And that's the question that I have, right, for Nick Saban is, what do you have him do?
Right.
What are you going to have your guys do that's different? You have one running back who's hurt, Brian Robinson. Like, one guy. You have one guy. When's the last time Alabama had one running back?
Yeah, it's not the strength of their team this year, for sure. They don't have a special back. But listen, it's still going to be.
I understand injuries, yada yada yada. But like the reality of it is, like if Jace McClellan had been healthy, maybe now they have two running backs.
Sure.
But he's not healthy.
Yeah.
So, oof.
Well, I'll tell you what, Felder, let's hit pause on the SEC talk.
Okay.
Let's head to Big 12 country. Well, Waco, yes, specifically. John Morris, radio voice of the Baylor Bears, joins the show next.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, we're going to keep it rolling. We're heading to Waco. We're going to talk Big 12 Championship with John Morris. He's the radio voice of the Baylor Bears. J-Mo, how did November treat you, man? Because I know that can be a rough time of the year for you broadcasters. You got football, you got basketball, you got a lot going on. So how you holding up? How are the pipes?
Yeah, really good, really good. Thanks to you and a lot of other people at Learfield, so I appreciate that very much. And it's really been a good November for Baylor basketball, still undefeated on the year, and Baylor football playing in the Big 12 championship game.
So before we talk about the game specifically, I mean, from my perspective, seeing what Dave Aranda has done in year two, and I know that last year, the COVID season, it was – so uneven across the country, right? The programs that had great years, the programs that had down years, and then you look at how they've done in 2021. But going 2-7 a year ago and seeing what Dave Aranda has done with that squad this year, how surprised are you with where Baylor football is right now?
Well, it's amazing what he's done, really, because it was not fair to Dave last year. That's a mulligan year in my book, because it was his first year as a head coach, his first year here at Baylor, and you have to go through all the COVID protocols and no spring practice and meeting his players over Zoom and meeting his players' families over Zoom. It just wasn't fair. And Baylor, you know, the record kind of showed that, limped to a 2-7 finish last year. And then look what he's done this year with a full year, a full spring, no, quote unquote, normal off season. And look where we are right now at 10-2. To say that I expected this, I'd probably be lying to you. I thought the team would be much improved over last year. I thought this was a team that could get to a bowl game. But to think that we could be 10-2 and playing for a Big 12 championship on Saturday, I think that would have been in the wildest dreams of any Baylor fan.
You guys beat BYU, Oklahoma, Texas. Which one of those kind of those three big wins right in that middle of that season you feel helped solidify what Aranda's working on at Baylor?
Yeah, good question. You know, of course, two of those are conference wins, and actually in another couple of years, all three of those will be conference wins. So they're all big. But I think the BYU game really hit home because that was homecoming here at Baylor. There was a big buildup knowing that BYU is joining the Big 12 Conference. And we just, you know, we wanted to make them feel welcome, and we went overboard. I mean, their president rode in our homecoming parade, you know. Has that ever happened at a school?
Wow.
But we made them feel welcome, and then we kicked it off, and then just kind of beat them at their own game with Jeff Grimes as our offensive coordinator now, and he was at BYU the last few years, and Eric Mateos, our offensive line coach, and he came from BYU. So the way that game played out, the way we ran the ball in that game, which is kind of the core of what this offense wants to do, it was really, really big. But I wouldn't say it's any bigger than a conference win over Texas or a conference win over Oklahoma.
J-Mo, I don't want to get you in trouble, but I am going to ask.
Okay.
What type of update can you give us on Gary Bohannon?
I won't let you get me in trouble. I've seen practice, and Gary is out there at practice, but he hadn't been getting a lot of reps. So I think with a hamstring pull, which is what it is, and a pretty severe hamstring pull is the way it's been described to me, I would be very surprised if he sees the field on Saturday. He was out warming up pregame last Saturday and, of course, didn't play. But I'd be surprised. I don't think it's out of the question that he plays. I think I'd be very surprised if I see that, which means Blake Shapen would get his second consecutive start at quarterback.
Okay.
Well, J-Mo, I was going to ask, how do they protect Shapen a little more? Because he took some shots, it looked like, last week.
Well, one in particular on the far sideline. I mean, he was just drilled by Rico Jeffers, the linebacker for Texas. This Tech, it's sort of a fine line because he's a good runner, and the quarterback run is part of this wide zone offense. You know, it just adds another level there. So you want that threat to be there, but by the same token, you know, we're to Shapen, and our next quarterback is a true freshman who took his first snap in a game at Baylor last week, and it was only one snap. And I think he's going to be good, Kyron Drones, but he has no experience. And remember, Baylor's going up against a kind of a meat-eating defense in Oklahoma State. So I think they may run it in particular situations, but not go crazy knowing that we need Blake Shapen to be upright at the end of the game.
So J-Mo, you've called Baylor athletics for a while. You've been around Mike Gundy teams, right? I mean, he's in his 17th year in Stillwater. The book on Gundy was always, man, if he ever could get a defense, watch out. Well, he's got a defense, and you know they're arguably a game away from making a college football playoff appearance. What stands out? I mean, you've seen this team earlier in the year, way back in October. Hard to believe that was back in week 5 of the season. But you know, you've got some familiarity with that team. With, you know, obviously everybody plays each other in the conference. But what is it specifically? If you can just expand on what makes Oklahoma State's defense so good.
Yeah, and I think they're the best defense in the league. You know, the way they've played this year, you know, normally that's a spot reserved for Iowa State the last few years, but Oklahoma State, I think, has played the best defense. And I think Baylor may be the second best defense in this league, so that makes for an interesting matchup on Saturday. But I just think they've got a bunch of veteran guys over there on defense, and, you know, guys who've been around, guys who have been in Jim Knowles' system, and I think Jim Knowles is terrific as a defensive coordinator. He's one of five finalists for the Broyles Award, and our offensive coordinator, Jeff Grimes, is another one of those finalists, so that makes for a nice, you know, on-paper matchup going into the game also. But I just think it's the veteran nature of that defense. They have been with the same coordinator now for a few years, same system, and veteran guys who are really, really athletic. I mean, all over the field, they're athletic. Maybe, I don't know, you guys would be better qualified to say this than me, but maybe the best defensive front in the country, certainly up there, one of the best defensive fronts in the country. And then their linebackers are very active also. So I just think across the board, veterans, been around a while, really good system, that adds up to a great defense.
John Morris here, voice of the Bears. John, I wanted to ask you, so many times you mentioned that we might know a little bit better, but because we look at it from a national view, so many national people poo-poo the defense in the Big 12, but we're watching two teams that are built by Knowles. Obviously, Aranda is a defensive-focused head coach. What do you say to those folks on a national basis who haven't been paying attention at this defensive resurgence in the Big 12?
Yeah, that's a good point, because for a year, you know, for a few years there, it was the point-a-minute offense, you know, in the Big 12, and Baylor sort of perpetuated that, but it wasn't just Baylor, and then the defense was, you know, just hold them under 70, and we'll probably get a win. But that has changed. I mean, it has really changed with, I think, the coaches who have come into this league and have a defensive mindset to start with, like Matt Campbell at Iowa State, certainly Gary Patterson at TCU, you know, in all his years here. And then now with Dave Aranda coming from a DC background also, I think that's sort of changed, and I hope the image of the league has changed. I think we've got five defenses in the top 25 nationally in the Big 12. Now, you'd win some bar bets if you, you know, threw that stat out there and asked somebody to verify it. But, I mean, that shows that and these two teams playing for the championship. You know, what's the strength of Baylor? Is it the offense or the defense? What's the strength of Oklahoma State, offense or defense? You might say defense for both those teams. So really good defenses across the board here.
Yeah, I've been really excited to watch both of these teams play, especially both defenses. They get it done in different ways, but they're really fun to watch. I can't believe we got this far without mentioning Abram Smith and Tristan Ebner, how much those guys mean to this offense.
Unbelievable. Yeah, they're great. There's a couple of seniors recognized on Senior Day last week. Abram Smith is a great story for our listeners here. He was a running back at Abilene coming out of high school, came here, and they really said, hey, looking at his body, he said, hey, how about trying linebacker? He said, all right, whatever you need, and went over to linebacker and played pretty well there. And then in the spring here, they said, and then he went both ways for a while, running back and linebacker. In the spring, they said, hey, we really need you at running back. And he said, all right, no problem. He comes over to running back, and he's second in this league in rushing with some really good running backs in the Big 12. He's second in the Big 12 conference in rushing, top 10 nationally rushing-wise. So really, really good story there with Abram. And Tristan is a great all-purpose guy. You know, we wouldn't have beaten Iowa State earlier this year without the special teams contributions of Tristan Ebner. So two really good guys, two of the seniors that, you know, are hoping to go out with a Big 12 championship.
J-Mo, you kind of touched on this earlier, but, you know, how cool is it that with all the talk of, you know, expansion and obviously Oklahoma and Texas leaving the Big 12 in a couple of years, how cool is it that it's Baylor and Oklahoma State that are going to be playing for a Big 12 championship instead of one of those you-know-who schools, right?
Well, now you're asking me to get a little snarky there, Stephen. So, and I won't take that bait. But I think it is recognized around our league that it is nice that two committed Big 12 schools are playing for the Big 12 championship. All right, and both these teams have earned it. Oklahoma State, you know, beat Texas, beat OU and Bedlam last week to get here, and Baylor beat both of those schools along the way also. So it is very nice. nice. And, you know, I think the future is really bright for this league. I'm a half glass half full kind of guy. And the schools that we're adding, I think, are going to be terrific. And I think this league is going to be a real player, you know, in the national scene for years to come.
J-Mo, you're the consummate pro, but you're telling me you don't get a little bit of joy about seeing Oklahoma fans squirm this week because their coaches left for L.A.? Not a little bit? Not even a tad?
Well, there is a bit of irony in that the OU fans are saying, hey, wait a second, you didn't give us a heads up on this. Now, wait a second, Oklahoma. How much of a heads up did you give the Big 12 conference before you announced you were leaving for the SEC? So, you know, I would say that, Stephen, the end of the game, we beat Oklahoma. Part of our postgame call was, it just means more, you know, when you beat a school like Oklahoma. So that bit of snark did kind of sneak in there, yes.
I love it. How many Baylor fans are making the trip to Arlington? I mean, it's an early game, right? But you don't get very many trips for a Big 12 championship. What's that going to look like?
Well, a bunch. I think we've sold all our tickets and directing people to, you know, third parties to get tickets. And I think the same for Oklahoma State. I think we're going to have a great crowd there, despite an 11 a.m. start. And, you know, Arlington's an hour and a half drive up I-35 from Waco, so it's an easy trip, even with the early start. So I think it's going to be a great crowd and a real great showcase for the Big 12.
I love it. J-Mo, have a good call, man. You're almost to the finish line. The overlap, it's a good thing when you still have an overlap that you're dealing with in December. So
I definitely agree. It's a very good thing. Hey, you guys do a great job. I really enjoy listening to you each week, and it's an honor to be on with you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, J-Mo. Have a good call on Saturday.
Appreciate it.
There you go. Okay, thanks again to John Morris. I'm trying to find – yeah, at Voice of Bears on Twitter.
Yeah.
Good dude. And, you know, outside of Chip and Joanna Gaines, I mean, really one of the first families in Waco, Texas. I'm a big Chip and Joe guy. No disrespect to the Morris
household. You're a big shiplap guy.
Well, listen, I mean, I know that they're on every pregame show when something big happens in Waco, and I get it, right? I get it. But, yeah, man, you want to talk about power couples and entertainment? I mean, everyone knows about, you know, Beyonce and Jay-Z, right?
I put
Chip and Joe right there, man. They're in the discussion.
Okay.
I mean, you watch more reality TV than me, Felder. Am I off? Am I off base there? It's a power couple.
I don't think you're off. I think the reality TV shows that I watch, there's not a lot of couples involved.
Oh, I love it. That's phenomenal. All right.
Oh, man.
So that was a deep dive on the Big 12 championship game.
I'm excited for that game. I didn't put it in the Felder 5 because I knew we were talking to John, so I didn't put it in there. But for anybody watching that game, listen, it's the noon kick. You're good to go. The biggest thing for me is the way Oklahoma State plays defense. They are aggressive. He mentioned the defensive line and the linebackers. That secondary is remarkable as well.
Yeah.
Those guys attack, and they attack, and they attack. And we saw it pay dividends down the road, right, where in the first two series against Oklahoma, what do they get, two pass interferences because they're playing too physical? And then what happens? The ref's like, well, we can't call this every single time. We just got to let them play. And then they let them play, and what happens? End of the game, begging for pass interference, no flag. Why? This is just the way that we play, baby.
I thought you had a good tweet about that in the moment last weekend about Oklahoma State and the way that their secondary kind of dares you to throw a flag on every play, but also it sets the table for, you know, a full 60-minute football game. Like, in other words, the coaching staff's like, I'm not worried about that DPI in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Like, it's fine.
Yeah, don't care about it.
Yeah, I think that's cool. This is going to be a uniform game, too. You might have to put the sunglasses on for this one, man.
What are we doing, like color rush?
I don't know what – I mean, Oklahoma State, they got a new helmet every time they play. And Baylor, I mean, if they want to, they can crank it up on the color scale. So I don't know what
it's not going to be
like.
Orange on yellow.
No, but it's, I mean, it's just a lot, lots of bright colors, man.
It's probably going to be black on yellow.
Okay.
Black and yellow, black and yellow, black
thank,
and yellow.
Thank
black
you,
and
Wiz.
Yellow.
Thank you.
Yes,
thank
sir. You, we're just having fun. We don't care who sees. Number three on the Felder 5. Speaking of just having fun, Western Kentucky, UTSA. Now, I would like for someone to please explain to me how they lost to North Texas, because I still don't understand that. Speaking of UTSA, that is.
Yeah, I mean, North Texas is...
not good.
Not good. They needed that game to get bowl eligible, which they did. But, yeah, that was a weird... that was a weird score.
That was remarkable. Like, I don't understand what happened. I don't understand how it happened. I mean, they just shut them down. They just shut them down, especially through the air. And so the big thing for me in this ball game is I'm looking at this is another Friday night. This is Friday at 7 on CBS Sports. And Western Kentucky at UTSA, Bailey Zappe. This dude is a beast, dog. Doing things nobody's ever done before. 52 touchdown passes.
You know what I find fascinating about the whole Bailey Zappe story?
What?
The Houston Baptist part of this equation.
What about it?
Western Kentucky went and got not just the quarterback, but the coaches and several of his top pass catchers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, think about this for a minute. Like, we talk about free agency in college football, the transfer portal, how it's changing things. And you hear about it with the Kenneth Walkers of the world, right? Like dudes who transfer out of one Power 5 program to another Power 5 program. But what Western Kentucky did was they basically were like, man, we're having a really hard time scoring points. You know who isn't?
These guys.
Houston Baptist. So let's go get – I do not know the gentleman who they – was it the OC? They got somebody from –
offensive coordinator.
Yeah, but they got Bailey Zappe, who was the quarterback at Houston Baptist, and they got a couple receivers.
Yeah.
Like the whole group. And guess what? It worked. Like, these dudes are balling. So, I mean, it was an interesting experiment in real time, but, like, you know – there's no, hey, let's see how this install is going to go in spring football. Everybody already knows what we're doing because we've been doing it together. Kind of crazy. Yeah, it's bizarre. You know what it is, though? This is Ole Miss. This is Conference USA Ole Miss. These dudes hustle.
Yeah, they go fast.
Fast, man.
Yeah. I'm looking at it now. They brought in Zach Kittley as their offensive coordinator. And then obviously they brought in Bailey Zappe. And then they brought in Zach Grant, Taylor Brown. And it's just unbelievable. And then they brought in Jareth Stearns. Jareth Stearns is wild. Although I like the other kid even a little bit more. I know Stearns is the guy that catches most of the passes, but the Mitchell Tinsley kid kid's a freak.
Yeah.
So I like them. They're good. I also like Frank Harris, though.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah, you've been banging the Frank Harris drum for quite a while.
Yeah, like 3 years. Like, literally going back, I went back and pulled up some old, like, Facebook Live or something that I did, and I was like, he's going to be good once he figures it out. From, like, September of 2018 or 2019. He's going to be good once he figures it out. If he figures it out, he's going to be good. And he's starting to figure it out. And he's going to be good. So I love it. I'm just looking forward to watching this football game because a lot of offense. And for those of you that don't realize this, Bailey Zappe really can. He might throw 60. He might hit 60 as far as touchdowns thrown this season.
Yeah. It's crazy.
He's at 52. And Hartzell, I was doing the math. He's at 52. So that means he needs 8 touchdowns, right?
Yep.
He needs 8 touchdowns to get to 60. So this is the math that I was doing. How many times he's thrown 8 touchdowns in back-to-back games? And so game 1 to game 2, 7 and 3. That's 10 touchdowns. That's over 8. So that's one time. Game 2 to 3 is only 6. Game 3 to 4 is only 6. Game 4 to 5, 3 to 5. That's another 8 touchdowns. That's the second time he's done it. Game 5 to 6, 5 to 5. That's 10 touchdowns. That's the third time that he's done it. Game 6-7, 5-3. That's another time that he's done it. That's 4 times. 4 different times he's thrown back to back to back. Then we get to game, let me see. What is this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So this is game 8. 8-9, 4-4. That's 8 touchdowns. So that's 5 times. 4-5, that's another time. 5-6, another time. 6-4, 8 times. 8 times in some combinations of games, he's thrown back-to-back 8 touchdown or more games. That's sick.
Yeah, he's a stud.
And Frank Harris is really good. Oh, and by the way, Sincere McCormick is a beast, dog. People are sleeping on him. That dude is awesome.
Well, here's the cool thing. Well, I mean, I don't know if it's a cool thing or not. Do you like rematches? These guys played once during the regular season, and it was a barn burner.
Yep.
So you get it again. It's at the Alamo Dome. This is a true home game for UTSA. Yep. They played in Bowling Green earlier this year. It was 52-46.
Yep. This is going to be another one. So I had to throw that one on my list. I got to give, you know, I got to give Conference USA some love.
Honestly, man, like of the two Friday night games, I know we talked about Oregon, Utah. I'm a little bit more excited for the eighth wonder of the world. Take me to the Alamo Dome, baby. Come on.
There we go. Let's do it, man. I love it. I'm excited. I'm super excited to see these guys.
Yeah, they don't let you talk about Conference USA championship games on your other podcast, do they, Felder? Yeah. Let's keep it rolling.
All right, Michigan's game plan versus Iowa. This is number one on the Felder 5. Does it look like last week? Because Iowa already knows what that game plan is. Does it look like the rest of the season? Because Iowa would love to play against that. And that's the big question that I have. What does Michigan do? They can't make anything that drastically different than what they did last week. Iowa's not going to be as fooled as Ohio State was. So what does this game plan look like for Michigan coming against Iowa?
Well, you tell me, Hassan Haskins isn't going to be able to get whatever he wants against Iowa.
Right, but the thing is, the only reason he was able to get whatever he wants was because the way they manipulated personnel packages and the way they used motion and shifts, pre-snap shifts, pre-snap motions to create space and catch. They caught Ohio State completely off guard. And this is one of the things that I don't think enough folks realize, because I don't think enough people are looking at it when they're watching football. But on the first touchdown they scored, on that little modified Statue of Liberty play or whatever, that was a recap of a play they ran early in that drive where they picked up like 14 yards on a screen. They run a motion speed screen to the left, to the high side of the field. Ohio State's too slow to get out there. The corner gets cut. Linebacker's too slow. They pick up 14 yards. They show a very similar look, including that pre-snap motion out wide. And McNamara does the fake, hard fake throw to the screen. Steel Chambers, the linebacker for Ohio State, is sprinting out there like, oh, I got your number. And then that little Statue of Liberty play, and they got a tight end out in front blocking, and that's 6 points. They built all this stuff up, and so they used all these motions. They move guys side to side. And once you get moving side to side, and once you're a linebacker and your steps start out side to side, you're now on your heels. And guess what? It's a lot easier to block. It's a lot easier to be physical when the guy's not coming at you. And Ohio State wasn't coming at them. And the other big difference here is Ohio State is a pressure-based defense, meaning those guys are looking for penetration. They're trying to find a way to create space. They're trying to get all this stuff done. That's why they were able to still, even without a big name sack getter, they're able to still get sacks, because they find penetration and they use their speed to get upfield. Iowa doesn't want to get upfield. They want to squeeze you, make you make mistakes. And that's a completely different football team. Also, they're smarter. They're more disciplined. They know what they're supposed to be doing.
Was there a point watching Michigan-Ohio State, I know this isn't a recap show, but was there a point watching that game maybe early on where you were like, ooh, Michigan's going to be all right today?
The third quarter.
Sure.
The third quarter was when. In the second quarter, I was like, oh, Ohio State figured it out. This might get ugly. And then they came back out with the misdirection in the second half, and I was like, okay, they got this under control. You can't fix stupid. And when you're playing a team that doesn't know what linebackers they want to have in the game for four quarters, there's nothing. They don't stand a chance against you. Yeah, it was bad. It was really bad.
Yeah. You know, the thing about Michigan is, I mean, maybe it's because we've just been conditioned over the Harbaugh era to just kind of expect them to fold, especially against their rival, right? Because that's all we had seen. That's all we knew.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to a certain extent, that's all we've ever known with the Georgia-Alabama rivalry since Kirby Smart's taken over. Like, the Alabama games have been like a measuring stick. And Georgia's been close, but they haven't gotten it done. Well, this year they're favored. I mean, Georgia's, they're almost a touchdown favorite. They're more 6.5. They're more than a touchdown.
Sure.
But, it will be, like seeing Michigan kind of shake that off. And, it wasn't gifted to them. Like, they had to go out and they had to earn it. They had to beat Ohio State.
Sure.
But I am curious, similarly, how that plays out in the SEC championship on Saturday as well. Just because
is Kirby Smart going to be smart or is he going to be stupid?
Well, I mean, he's talked about all week, and I've got quotes and transcripts and all kinds of sites.
Sure.
I had a Zoom with Kirby earlier this week. That was fun, just me and him. It's just, nice. just the two of us, me and Kerbs.
Look at you, big time.
But he's like, he's talked about experience from a coaching standpoint. It's not just about the players. Yeah, it helps to have experienced players, but it also helps to be like, yeah, I'm in my fourth SEC championship game in the last 5 years. Okay. And, that sounds good going into the game.
Right.
But, Felder, to your point, yo, man, what are we going to do if this thing's tied in the fourth quarter?
Right.
And that's something else that, I don't know how you can simulate adversity in practice. I don't know if you can.
I mean, you work situations, you work scenarios, obviously, but they're stakesless because it's just practice. But at the end of the day, I mean, the biggest thing for me is not.
Do you think we see that on Saturday? Do you think we see Georgia in a one-possession game in the second half? Because that has not happened, with the exception of the Clemson game when it was 10-3.
Yes, I do.
Okay, well.
Here's my point. No, you finish your thing, and then I'll tell you what I was.
That's what I want. If I was a paid spectator, paying for my on this
you're
game.
The opposite of what you are. You're a paid spectator, a paying spectator.
I guess what I'm saying is, if I was a neutral who wanted to be entertained on Saturday, that's the scenario that I want to see, because that's the only thing I haven't seen from Georgia. Right. They've just gone out and they've handled their business early and often against everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So if Alabama's hanging around in this game, okay, I haven't seen this before. I haven't seen this yet this season. So let's go. I think it's going to be great.
Well, here's the thing. Does Kirby Smart think he's going to win this game by scoring 20 points?
I don't know. I that would be a sweaty proposition.
But it's the one he likes the most.
Well, historically, yeah.
Does he think he needs to come out and destroy them and win 40-10? Because that's, to me, that's why I went back to those Clemson games, right? That's why I went back specifically to that Clemson 2018 game, right? What was it, 44-16?
Mm-hmm.
Dabo knew, I gotta beat these guys' brains in. I gotta beat their brains in and make them quit. Kirby comes with that mentality. I almost called him Carson Strong. He lets Stetson Bennett run around a little bit. Let him run around. Put Alabama in conflict. Push the ball down the field down a little bit. Use Dwayne Washington ever. Darnell Washington, excuse me.
Big zero.
Use him ever. I get that you like Bowers and Ladd McConkie.
Bro.
But hey.
Darnell Washington looks like LeBron James in a football uniform.
Yeah, I know.
He is a monster.
Yeah.
And he wears number zero, which makes him even more of a monster. I don't know why, but visually it just works.
Yeah. Use him. So to me, and I did this on the bulletin this week, I talked about off tendency. And I talked about going off tendency. And Kirby Smart should be working off tendency. He should be working tempo. James Cook out of the backfield with vertical plays down the field. Stetson Bennett running and getting the ball to Darnell Washington consistently. You remember in the national championship game against Alabama where Riley Ridley caught six balls?
Yeah.
He had 10 catches all season long or something. And then all of a sudden he's got 6 balls on 7 targets. And Alabama was like, who is this guy? We didn't practice for him. That's what they need to be doing with Darnell Washington. 8 catches in 8 games. What if he gets 5 catches on Saturday?
I'll give you another name.
Who?
George Pickens.
That's not a surprise, though.
No, it's not a surprise, but he's healthy. He played in the Tech game.
I know. That's. But what I'm saying is they know he's going to get the ball once he's in the game. He just hasn't been in the game.
Yeah.
Darnell Washington has been in the game and just not gotten the football. Not even been looked at.
Maybe you're telling me you can't ISO? Maybe it's by design. Maybe it's by design, big fella.
That's what I'm talking about, right? I want Kirby Smart to go out there and say, I'm gonna score 40 points. I dare you to stop me. I don't care about Hellums. I don't care about battle. Guess what's gonna happen? They can't cover my guy, Big Zero. We're gonna put the ball up, touchdown. Come and get me.
That place is gonna get me. That place is gonna be wild.
Yeah. And then for Nick Saban, we talked about it already. I wonder what he's got in his back pocket.
Tempo. That's the only thing I can think of. I'm not scheme guy, Felder, but
tempo's got to be important. Bryce Young on the move's got to be important. Moving the pocket's got to be important. Misdirection's got to be important. Not having a run game is obviously a massive hamstring, but I also look at the idea that, listen, they've got to find a way to get the ball down the field. They're going to use bunch. They're going to use count numbers exchanges where we're going to be looking at guys that look like they should be one or two or three, and then they're going to move in motion, and now all of a sudden you change the picture for them to create mismatches or to create blown coverages based on two people covering one guy and one guy goes uncovered. So all those things are going to be in play for Alabama. They know they got to hustle. But at the end of the day, it's going to be a matter of, hey, man, certainly we all think Saban's the smarter guy. But is there enough space for him to be smarter? And it matter? Is he close enough to this team? And Kirby Smart plays conservative enough for Nick Saban's intelligence and his understanding of his football acumen to help him win out. That's going to be key. That part's going to be key.
I might be texting you for help with pronunciation of like
Quavo.
Of like rappers. Yeah, I did that a couple years ago, famously.
Quavo.
I was like, is it Quavo or Quavo? Just in case I need to know. You were very helpful. You responded immediately. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm here
that.
To help.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Saturday is one of those. It's an easy day.
10 games. Well, 8, really.
8. 8.
9 if you count Cal USC.
Well, who would?
You know what time that game kicks?
11 o'clock.
11 Eastern.
Yeah.
Do you not even watch that one? Like, I mean, you wear it proudly watching.
I'll throw it up.
Late
I'll throw it
football.
On the iPad.
Okay. All right. Very good.
I'll throw it on the iPad, but I'm not going to pretend like I care.
Because those two primetime games, Big Ten and mm-hmm. ACC, will be very different score lines.
Oh, yeah.
One of those is going to be 7-6.
Yeah.
The other one's going to be 33-31
mm-hmm.
at halftime.
Yeah.
It's going to be wild.
Yep.
I mean, are you ready to say goodbye to this college football season, Felder? Like, are you ready to bid farewell?
Yeah. Dude, Saturday?
You got recruiting coming up in a couple weeks.
I know. I got to plan the recruiting show that we've got.
What's that look like?
Our special on Wednesday the 15th.
Like during the morning, or do you wait until all the dust settles?
Midday, I think.
Okay.
Midday, and we'll go from there. So we'll see how that goes. I'll give you some more info once I figure out what's going on. Got a meeting about it coming up here soon.
Before we sign off, we like to pick underdogs. It feels it feels like forever ago, but I did give us a winner in the Egg Bowl. I said Ole Miss, they're a 1-point underdog. They're going to win straight up. Felder, you gave us Florida State. Nah. Serber picked Boston College because he was rooting for Clemson. Nah. I mean, I don't want to pick on Serber. He's not here to defend himself. But
did Tripp not pick that one?
Did I say Serber? It might have been Tripp. I'm sorry, Tripp and Serber, if I'm getting y'all confused. Either way, I was the only one who picked a winner last week. I got two for this week.
Yeah.
Give me the tops. Give me Western Kentucky, Bailey Zappe, and them boys.
Aren't they favored?
No, they're a 3-point underdog at UTSA.
It says I see Western Kentucky -3.5.
What?
Yeah.
Felder, I think you are mistaken, sir. Hang on. Now you're going to make me look this up. Damn you. Damn you. My other one, I'm taking Louisiana. They are a 3-point home underdog to App State. Final game of the Billy Napier era in Lafayette.
Okay.
So those are my two. Hang on. Let me check on Western. Yeah, you're right. Wow. Look at you. Schooling me on all things Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I guess I just got one then.
Give me Alabama.
Oh, Felder. Wow. At in the bleachers on Twitter, Georgia fans.
I think Georgia's going to win, but if I'm picking one of these underdogs, I'm picking Alabama.
Okay, well, if that are you want to do the scenario game, do you? You don't want to do that? You're over
we
it?
We can do the scenario game, sure.
What happens if Iowa beats Michigan?
Then the Big Ten doesn't get a team in the playoff.
Yeah, but what happens to Notre Dame?
Notre Dame depends on what happened with everybody else. That's an incomplete scenario.
What happens if Baylor wins? What happens if Houston wins? What happens if Iowa wins? Let's get weird.
Notre Dame's in the playoff.
Ugh.
That's all I can say for sure.
That's
right?
All Georgia, you can. I mean, like,
Georgia,
how
the only for sure are Georgia and Notre Dame in that scenario.
In that scenario, I mean, Georgia's in regardless. So I mean, it's really like
sure.
Three spots for four teams. But
yeah.
if the chalk holds, if Cincinnati wins, that ain't enough. They need Georgia to win too.
Yes.
And if Alabama finds a way and Cincinnati goes 13-0, sorry. Enjoy the Fiesta Bowl or wherever.
Yeah.
But you ain't going. And that's going to be – I mean,
because you're saying because Oklahoma State will go ahead of them?
Yeah, I think Oklahoma State, if they beat Baylor, will jump Cincy.
Yeah, I think so too.
Or, I mean, what, you're going to leave out a one-loss Big 12 champ? No.
No, you can't.
Not for Cincinnati.
That's not the deal that they made.
That's not how that works. Now, if you're Cincinnati – and you win, and Alabama shocks the world, then you just go home and put on some Iowa colors and root hard for the Hawkeyes. Hard.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Got to have it. It's cool, man. I mean, listen, I'm not a fan of any of these teams, so the fact that it comes down to the final week to decide so many spots, it's cool.
Yeah, I don't care. But that's the part that people don't realize. I don't care who wins or loses.
Yeah, but in a couple of years, Felder, we're going to be talking about this times three. You realize that?
That's going to make me care even less.
We're going to be talking about teams like Ole Miss or, you know, whoever's like BYU.
Wake Forest.
Yeah, like teams that are like sitting at like 13 or 14 in the CFP rankings.
Mm-hmm.
And being like, oh, boy, it's going to be real sweaty for them on Saturday.
Yeah.
It's like, man. No, this isn't the answer, but it will be the answer.
Yeah, and I'm not going to care.
Got to boost that inventory, man.
In the words of, I listened to a podcast called My Brother and Me, and they had an episode, it's from a while back, and the guy, one of them said something about, do you want me to tell you my candy bacon recipe? He goes, you can tell me, but I'm not going to care. And that's exactly how I feel.
Words like, to live by.
Like, listen, you feel free. I'm not going to care. You can tell me all you want. You can bring it up. I'm not going to care. But I think one of the beauty. Listen, people get to care about what they care about. I think the big problem is that people think you should care about what they care about. Like, here's the reality: most football fans don't care about what cover two looks like, or how teams are playing match zone, or how teams are playing pattern matching versus the way that teams are. Spot dropping. Most team people don't care about that. Most people also don't care about the cover zero look that Oklahoma State shows as they spring out into this robber coverage. They're not going to care. And it doesn't hurt my feelings that they don't care.
Right.
I'm fine with it. I can live with the fact that you don't care about it because I do care about it. And that's all that I care about. That's it. So it is what it is. I'm excited. I'm excited for, like, but you know who's going to be up on Sunday morning?
Me. Everyone else home.
Is. Yeah, you driving home. Me. You know what I'm going to be doing? Charting out the plays that Jordan Davis was in the game, charting out the personnel packages that Alabama used, charting out which ones they had success in. I'm going to be up on Sunday doing that.
Straight
everybody
grinding,
else,
bro. Let's do
everyone
it.
Everyone else is going to be up going, who should get in? No, they should get in. Should they get in? Who should get in? And I'm just going to be looking at the football because that's all I care about.
Rise and grind.
Let's go. I'll have my monitor out. two screens. But I like football, you know?
Well, it's almost over, man.
Yeah, I know.
At CS Now Tweets, it has been a long year. It's been a long 2 years. At CS Now Tweets is where you can follow us on Twitter. At In the Bleachers, if you want to give Felder some love on social, he'll be tweeting like a madman starting at 7 o'clock Eastern on Friday when Conference USA starts their championship game and rolling all the way through until about 2 o'clock in the morning on Sunday when Cal and USC wraps up. Let's go.
100% there will not be any tweets about Cal USC. That game will be on the iPad, and it'll be on the iPad while I watch a movie and have a you know, in the words of our guy Landry Burdine, maybe a 3 or 4 finger pull of that wild.
Yeah,
three or four
boy.
Finger pour of that wild turkey, baby.
Dark liquor drink. There'll be a lot of folks around the country drinking some dark liquor based on the results of Saturday night from both the winning and losing sides, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Felder, enjoy the weekend, my dude. We'll do it again next week, and I'll take a look at what the CFP is going to bring us. All right?
Yep, sounds good.
All right, he's Michael Felder. I'm Stephen Hartzell. Thanks to John Morris, radio voice of the Baylor Bears. Folks, enjoy the weekend. We made it. It's championship weekend, all right? Y'all be safe out there. Have fun. Enjoy the games. Talk to you later.